Oh, yeah, my son likes it.
That's good. Nice to see you.
Do you want to go through and I'll get you a drink?
I'll have a coffee, please. That'd be nice. Yeah, white one sugar, please.
Do you want to explain about
the
sugar?
Yeah,
I
will
do.
Yeah. Thanks. Come and take
Matthew. Says nice things about you. I don't know, he thinks you're a stickler for the rules. But really nice guy.
Really? Well, that's quite crazy.
With that,
quite crazy indeed, isn't it?
It certainly is.
It's about as high as it gets. I never thought. I've been for my role now as stage manager, so I would have been in a year group that I would have managed.
I see.
So he was in year 9 when I was a stage manager, so he would have known me.
Yeah, so he was quite insistent. You're a nice guy. He was pretty
I'll take that.
Pretty pushy
nice
about that.
Now, I've got to apologise because Mrs. who was really. Well, looking forward to seeing you if you wanted to come here.
Yeah.
There's just been a bit of an incident, actually.
Well, I guess that,
which has now involved quite a few members of staff. I think there's been a bit of a physical assault on one of the students.
Yeah.
So I've just looked in there, and the student is pretty wound up, so she's quite upset. So if you don't mind...
That's all right, I'm easy. I'm not in a desperate hurry.
I've got a meeting about 10 to 4...
Yeah.
So I hope that should give us enough time to cover what
we
need to.
Yeah, well, I don't know quite what we're doing, to be quite honest.
Well, I think what I wanted to do, because what I spoke to Mrs. about was when we saw your letter that went, I know it wasn't directly to us, it was to Surrey County Council, and we saw that we felt that you still had some kind of concerns with it. Some issues with the school. I wasn't around at the time.
That's great, thank you.
It would have been sort of 2008, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And although I was here, I sort of started here in 2005, I was just head of I didn't have that role. And even Mrs. wasn't really in that role at all.
Yeah.
We just wanted to make sure that you felt that we hadn't done you wrong. In a way, we didn't want to kind of you to feel that in some sense we mistreated you or we treated you badly, and also that the education that the boys got as well was always something that we had always at the forefront of what we were trying to do. So in a way, I suppose you want to just say sorry for anything that happened at the time, from the school's point of view, and just. If there is anything that you want to say to us...
Well, I mean, bottom line, I had an 11-year-old child. Yes, he wasn't a high achiever. He had a statement, and he had a few issues. Yeah, Mum wasn't that keen, and I was really struggling, It's bigger for me to come into here than it is to stand up to a copper. That's what... Hello, good afternoon.
We didn't know if you could get away. I didn't know your excuses.
Yes, I heard.
It's something that happens very rarely in our school.
Yeah, I say it's good to watch the kids. They all walk around nice and quietly. Not like the other ones.
First
fight
on
my own.
Well,
since I've been here.
I know, right, but it's the same child, by the same other student, twice in one day.
Really?
Having just excluded her for the fight at lunchtime, has come back and just... doubled it up.
I think I might need to catch up on that afterwards.
We will. Anyway, have I missed?
He wasn't too sure why I was here, and I can understand that. And I just said, back in 2008, I wasn't doing the job that I am now, and you weren't doing the job that you were doing now. And what we wanted to do was just make sure that. We have a chance to sort of listen to you
and learn. It's a question about learning, all right? Because, sometimes things happen in a particular way. You don't always get it right, systems, procedures, right? We take advice from different things, right? Social services involvement, etc. And we know, that particularly when you involve outside agencies, trying to get things done in the right order sometimes doesn't suit everybody all the time.
Yeah.
One of the things that I think most concern both myself and other than the fact that this is a big learning curve to make sure that we get things right,
right
from each experience that we do, but also it's about the reputation of school.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, we've both been here a long time. I've been here 24 years. Although I haven't been head,
I mean,
in the last year and a half, I've been involved in being headship. Is that the role that I take here, it's a very special school.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't want something that happened, a few years ago to have a negative impact on that reputation if there's something that we can put things right. So I think really it's a better understanding of where you were coming from as a parent at that time. I appreciate as you as a young man had a whole range of real difficult challenges that you've had to face and live through, right? And part of that has come into our scenario here. But really, it's for you to tell us who wasn't around at the time.
Yeah.
I know clearly you had something, right, a little bugbear against how you managed things. Sharing it with us now again so that you can rest assured that we feel that if something like that happened all over again, how you feel we should have managed it differently as a school so that you don't think negatively as a school.
As I was saying to Mr. Daniel came into school, he wasn't a high achiever, he had the statement, he was struggling, I expected a bit of a struggle. For the first month I wasn't really taking much notice, to be honest, It was only when we got called into school, because he was late between classes, I sort of woke up and had a look at things. Unfortunately by this time his behaviour had become troubled, disruptive, whatever. And I said to Mrs. I asked Mrs. to phone Tony because I was out of my depth. Yeah. Mm. Secondary school was not my, I've never been in secondary school. Yeah. I was in a private boarding school. And I didn't really know how things worked, but I knew who I trusted. And unfortunately I didn't trust my wife a great deal for whatever reason. Daniel was struggling and I was asking advice from a number of different people, and the only advice I got that I felt was good for, I say for me, but it's more for the family, was from Tony, because I said, he's messing around, he's burning himself on radiators, he was playing up, getting kicked out of class.
Who's Tony?
Tony's Daniel scout leader, or his club leader at the time. The only support I had was Tony, because my wife was somewhere else. Daniel was feeling quite alienated, and I didn't know how to deal with the school, I'm sure a lot of parents are possibly just frightened of schools. And unfortunately I was one of those, quite high level one of those, I was told somebody else would do it, and then somebody else would do it, and then the social worker would do it. I thought, well, eventually someone's going to make this phone call, take the weight off my shoulders, because I was beginning to panic a bit.
Is this because you were feeling wasn't coping in school?
Daniel wasn't coping in school, but I was also feeling that I was being blamed for his not coping in school. I felt that the way that my suggestion for having a scout leader was just dismissed was, you're the problem. It really came across to me.
Was that
it was, yeah. Mm. I mean, I've got nothing against wrong, this is my problem because of my childhood.
Yeah.
But I asked her time and time again to phone Tony, and yes, okay, it might well have been a social worker's job, but I was frightened of social workers as well, so it was a double-edged sword. And the social worker wasn't particularly good. I gave her the phone number on a piece of paper, and she claimed she had the wrong phone number or couldn't get through. And I must admit, I only asked the social worker once to make the phone call because she'd taken the paper from me, so I didn't have to ask her again. And I was quite despondent with the social worker because I felt she was talking to me like I was a child. She was a 30-something-year-old social worker, probably very good at her job, but as far as I was concerned, she wasn't. And I was trying to deal with where the issue was. The issue, as far as I was concerned, was with Daniel in school. I'll deal with the school. not with the social worker. So I was, and again, back to my own childhood, I was very anti-social worker. Five times I had asked the school to make this phone call, and five times they had not referred me back to the social worker. This is what really annoyed me. Yeah, only once did someone tell me the social worker was going to phone. It was somebody else would do that, and I thought she meant somebody else in school will do that and not her. Yeah, so I thought, well, eventually someone will do it, you know. And I didn't understand, because it wasn't made clear to me, that the social worker should have been doing it. As far as I was concerned, the problem was with Daniel, and it was within school. Okay, the bigger issue was the problem at home, but as far as I could see, I was trying to deal with the school. How do you word this without being horrible? It was an off-the-cuff remark. It wasn't really directed at me, but that's how I took it, yeah? It was, has anybody phoned his scout leader yet? And she turned around, but she turned around and walked away, because it was sort of the end of the conversation that particular day. And she said, that's not our job, social services will do that. Well, that was the manner in which it came across. And then she said, that's it, if that's not our job, there's been an abuse allegation on. But might not be the exact words, but that was the gist of it. And I took that as a direct abuse allegation against me with respect to the problems Daniel was having at school. Okay, by this time I've learnt that he's done something in a sexual manner. I haven't learnt what he's done, but I've been told it's a game of last, ask a girl for a game of looky. And my wife couldn't tell me the truth because my childhood, it would have just made things worse. So I could understand where she was coming from without telling me.
No, I didn't. What the concerns were.
No, all I knew was what she told me, and that was Daniel had asked a girl for a game of looky. And that was all I knew, which, not very good, but not a big, And I just couldn't understand. Nothing made any sense. It was like, the school were, as far as I was concerned, kicking up a fuss about nothing. Mm. Well, I won't say about nothing, but making a big deal out of a small thing. And the only, I couldn't handle it. And Tony was my release. Mm. And then, said there's been an abuse allegation, and then I went back to the social worker. I've got to face this, you can't walk away from something like that, you've got to look at it head on. And I said to the social worker, I said, I'm at home, the marriage is falling apart because I can't handle the situation. She knows what's happened, she knows what I'm doing with just a little bit of knowledge that I've got, and she doesn't want to tell me everything. So the social worker said to me, I said to the social worker, we were told of an abuse allegation, because at this point I'm still convinced it's been directed at me. Yeah, I'm not aware of what's happened, and I am 100% convinced in my own head, based on what I knew at the time, it was directed at me. And the social worker said to me, Dad is a bit strict, but done him no harm. I thought, well, that's definitely looking at me then. It's not the family, this is me they're looking at. And I've got a paranoid bit now, and I'm getting really quite mentally disturbed by it. And I know it. And then next time I'm coming into school, I'm thinking, they're looking at me.
What was the mental way you came in?
I just got...
a difficult meeting with
Solomon. The meeting where I lost the plot was the following meeting, where I had the breakdown. Mm. I put my phone down. I just had to get somebody to phone Tony, and nobody was doing it. Mm. And then Tony came into a meeting. Then I had a meeting with the old head, Mr. And I'm sure he's a nice enough guy, but I was frightened of him. I was frightened of him. I'm not frightened of you two, but Mr. he was the big guy and I was the little guy, and it was very much like that for me. And I felt he spoke down to me quite maybe that's unfair, maybe it was just how I interpreted it, but I felt he was talking down to me and treating me as a an issue, shall we say, and not really listening to what I had to say. But fortunately, Tony was in the meeting and he took over and basically said to the said to Mr. that, you know, a lot of Daniel's issues were down to ideas that had been put to him. And he said, you know, Daniel is a child who likes to shock people, and he sold a big bit about how I thought school was the best thing since sliced bread, and I expected him to do major things, which clearly he wasn't going to do. But, you know, he made a big point, which I thought was quite relevant, that a lot of what Daniel was saying, because by this time obviously we've got bits and pieces about what Daniel had been saying, such as my dad gives me cold showers and beatings, which I didn't. I might have splashed him with some cold water a few times, but I'd never beaten him at all. And he's saying, you know, this is because of ideas that have been put to Daniel. And I'm thinking, at last, somebody who knows what they're doing. And that's really where I was coming from. And obviously after that, I began to calm down. I came into school. Of course, in the meantime, I've got a divorce going on as well, which all gets a bit messy and I'm unhappy. I came into school and I spoke to Mr. O. because Daniel wasn't getting any homework, which was quite alarming to me, because maybe wrongly I expected, because he was a lower tier, whatever you call it, I've forgotten how you word it now, that he would be getting a bit more homework to try and catch up. I mean, maybe this is naive thinking on my part, but that's what I expected. And he wasn't getting any homework, and in the meantime I've looked through his school workbooks, and they really are the work of a 5-year-old at that point. This is year 7 going into year 8, so year 8 I don't see, but year 7 I get to see his books. So I'm deciding I'll do some homework with him, I'll get involved. And I set him a few, essays to write. So I want an essay about such and such, I want this, that and the other in it, and I want it done properly with all the commas and the quotations and all the bits and bobs. And then I gave him some simple maths questions. Mind you, they do maths differently to how I did it. There's this box method, I don't know what that's all about. But I give him some sums and bits and bobs like that. You know, it's simple stuff that you would expect maybe an 11-year-old to do quite happily. And he did quite a lot of work for me at home. And I made a folder up of his work he was doing for me at home. And I brought it into school and I put it down in front of Mr. in a school meeting. Now, you have to bear in mind it's quite a big thing for me to come into one of these evening meetings. It's not like your average Joe, and I know I'm being confrontational, but that's just my, you know, how I did it. And I thought, you know, if I show him that Daniel is capable of doing this work, which is better than his school books, they'll get me involved, they'll send me something, they'll give back. And I put this folder of work down to his on the table next to his school book. I mean, okay, it might be in the end of year 7, early year 8, but it was just on the turnover. And he said to me, it looks like a different child. I thought, brilliant, at last, somebody will come back to me. I can get involved in being the parent that I want to be. Yeah, I'm not a very tactile parent, but I can do the teaching and the sitting down and the reading the books and all that. But nothing came of it. I didn't push it because I felt uncomfortable coming into school and questioning the school as I'm just a lowly parent, you know. And I thought to myself, well, I'm not a teacher. I'm telling a teacher how to do their job. That's going to get their back up. This is how I'm thinking. I'm not saying that's how it was, but this is how I'm interpreting the situation. So I thought, I've got to leave it alone. I've got to trust them to do their job and teach him best way they can. And it was about Oh. It was about a year later, might have been a bit less than a year. Daniel was really quite a big part of his life after he left. And she suggested that she's loads of money and private whatever. And she said she would fund some extra tuition for him out of school by way of some of her friends who are teachers. Getting involved with teaching him extra. So I'm sure I put it to and it was taken on board as much as it was recognised that I said it, but nothing came of it. I thought, I'll get books or something, I'll get a formula, what would you call it, a schedule of what extra might be on, and it just didn't happen. And I'm just thinking, you know, how far do I get myself ill trying to liaise with the school versus let the school get on with it. And then
I mean, Daniel
left school, he went to college, did a year at college, and he grew up quite a bit. Then he took a job at the newsagents, but that was a 6 or 8 week trial, and they made him fail the trial at the last minute, which is business. And then he went downhill quite a lot after that for about 6 months, and he's just coming up again now. He's just sort of getting himself, he's about 3 years behind where I would expect him to be, but he's quite a bit better now. And
Matthew
did quite well. He got loads of B's and what was it?
Matthew.
He started at college. He's doing woodwork of all things. He was going to do A-levels, and then he changed his mind to woodwork. And of course, once
Matthew
finished school, there was nothing in my head to stop me from telling my story. Not to have a dig at school, to tell my story about how I was affected by my childhood, because now I could tell people without the fear of people assuming that because it happened to me, I might reenact it on my children, especially being a single parent at home with two boys. Yeah, that was a big worry that sort of took up my thought processes for so many, well, years. And then it was a case of, you know, make the allegations, tell a few people, and it was a case of safety in numbers. So I wrote to you, I wrote to the other school, I wrote to the social workers, if I'm going to tell somebody, I'm going to tell the guy at the top sort of thing. And I felt so much better after I did it. And I got an acknowledgement that I wasn't the only child.
Right, really?
There's five of us by all accounts.
I think
it's a great thing to do. Five of us over two schools, or more than five, because the way the couple worded it was there was more than two in the prior school, and there was two that tried in 1991, didn't get anywhere from the school I was at. So he's in court next year.
Really?
So I've sort of got to put everything on hold so far as telling my story until next year.
Does that mean will you testify?
Yeah, that's what the copper said. Right. I'm waiting for confirmation and what's happening. I mean, they've got to present it to the CPS because they're deciding whether to tie school where I went with whatever this other school was together as one case or two separate cases.
Let me come in with regard. I mean, obviously, I think, you know, first of all, I'm really sorry that part of your life was so difficult.
Yeah.
One of the hardest things there is in any school is where you have a multi-agency approach.
Yeah.
And you've got your school, you've got your homeschooling workers, you've got your social services. Sometimes the police might be on the fringe of certain things. You've got your education welfare officers as well. So there's a whole cohort of people that all work together, and one of the hardest things is when you've got a student that's got particular needs, like and when he was right with us, right, as to who is responsible for doing what, right, and making sure things are followed up. Now there is no excuse, right, you know, if it was down to the fact that you were expecting somebody, right, to follow up with your intermediary, which was Tony, and we often have intermediaries, mm-hmm. Right, I've got a... We have a youth worker that works for the church at
Yeah.
Who is an intermediary between like some of our most challenging students in year 10 and 11 and their parents in school. And he relates really well, right, with some of our difficult kids, and therefore every time there's a meeting, he comes in as well. And I can understand that the way you're talking about Tony, Tony would have been the equivalent of this particular young man that has been helpful with some of our students. And it's a great shame that somehow he wasn't involved at the time when you needed him to be involved to be able to support you and support you. So I had no idea how or why that went wrong, and I'm sure if we went back now, the chances are she probably wouldn't even remember who was responsible for doing what. But I want to reassure you that now it's very much part of our scheme. We often have an external person who acts as a mentor, right, and is that intermediary between, right, you know, family, the students, the school, right, and it sort of like connects the triangle, if you like. But as I say, right, why it went wrong in your situation, I'm not making excuses for anybody, but all I can say is that the workload that has is huge.
I've worked that out,
because,
yeah.
You know,
15 minutes per child per week.
Oh, yeah, right, if you look and see how many students she has on her books, right, with regard to having really, really special needs, right, and her trying to make sure she does the absolute best, and she does a damn good job, but sometimes there probably will be the odd things, you know, and it's quite often the communication things that go awry, and, you know, you admitted yourself that the hardest thing is sometimes is you suddenly start to perceive, all right, that people are looking at you in a different way, and I'm sure imagination starts to take over.
Oh, yeah.
All right, and I know from having had meetings in here with students and staff, other people's perceptions are absolutely vital. And I might think one thing, all right, and believe you're telling me something. You could sit there the other side of the table and feel totally different, but it's your perceptions that are the important thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I can understand exactly where you're coming from, right, when you say, right, that, you know, sometimes you're feeling that fingers are pointing at you, right, because I think we've all been in a situation, haven't we, where, you know, you walk into a room sometimes and suddenly there's a little hesitation in conversation and you think, well, what's going on here? And before you know it, right, you're starting to think things that never have happened in the first place. And I'm sure that's the case here, right, that right, there was no fingers pointing and I'm really feeling concerned, right, that you felt right, guilty in a situation where it wasn't,
right,
anything to do with you at all?
Yeah, I mean, I understand a lot of my perceptions came from my own childhood. But, you know, no matter how you want to word it, who you want to blame, the fact is that I asked of the school where there was a problem. I went to the chief, the school, not the social worker, because the school was the issue. Five times somebody just make a phone call. I mean, that's just not acceptable. No matter, I mean, I understand it's very busy, and I understand that maybe I had issues, the family was falling apart, Daniel had issues, and yes, you want to get a social worker involved because that's not the way the cookie crumbles. But if you have a student that a number of staff were telling me the school had concerns for, and the student's father is saying, please just make a phone call, and you don't doing it, that.
It's a real, I was going to say, it's a fault in the system that we have to put our hands up, right? No two ways about it. One of the most important things to do, right, is ensuring there's communication.
Yeah.
I feel totally passionate about it. My husband will know, right, that I have a massive list, right, and until I have done that last thing on my list, I don't leave school. And sometimes people go home and do things from home. I'm somebody that likes to stay late in school, right, and know that even if, I mean, I've had several emails in today from different parents, and I have immediately responded to those parents today to say I am following certain things up and I will get back to them or somebody else will.
Yeah.
Because I feel parents want to know it is being addressed. Sadly, in your case, that didn't happen.
And I don't, obviously not knowing at the time, but I don't know if there was a reason why didn't make those phone calls. I'm assuming that it probably was just a workload. All I can say now, the system that I'm in, that's I don't think that would happen. Mm. I'm confident that if the situation was there now, and it was the same situation, that we would respond to your wishes and to support
Daniel.
Time.
Well, I hope so, because
the hands of the girls
Have been
on the receiving end of this fight.
Do you want to deal with that?
Well, I'm going to have to go in a minute, but I'm obviously we can talk about a while, but at the same time, I think the whole purpose was that we want to reassure you, alright? We want you to feel better when you walk away from here and feel that the school now is more understanding, better dealt with dealing with issues like some of the mentions that you discussed.
I hope so, because I think, you know, when you've got a child, yeah, especially a year 11 child, yeah, the parent knows the child better than you do,
yeah.
The prior school knows the child better than you do,
yeah.
Yeah, the scout movement knows the child better than you do, and all I was doing was asking to make a phone call. So I hope that somebody has learnt that maybe listening to the parent might be a bit higher on the agenda.
Well, I certainly have that, and I can listen to you.
After this meeting, it won't be tonight probably, but it will be tomorrow, we'll both organise a time when we can speak, right? Because I think it's important that we share with her, right, the fact.
I've got nothing against her. I don't dislike her or anything like that. I haven't got the daggers out.
It's not about that. It's about making sure that she's aware, all right, that you, right, years later, all right, have come in, all right, because she felt strongly, right, and I suppose it's just for us to be able to reiterate to all our staff the importance of keeping communication current. Like dealing with things as and when they happen. Right, that's the key. Right, so hopefully our practice is better for that. And as I say, I'm going to have to go, but you can rest assured that whilst I am still head, we will make sure that these things are dealt with and addressed in the way that you would want them to be done.
Well, that sounds reasonable.
Very good. Well, will you forgive me? But
yeah, you carry on. You go.
Okay,
thank you.
Bye-bye now.
Cheers.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like that, really. So I just think that for every, how the events unfolded back then, I can imagine being on the sort of education side of it, you know, having the intention that we always have is to protect the child.
Yes.
That's always the paramount. And I think this school has always done that. Always tries to do that, but sometimes within that sort of protecting the child, sometimes it might get a little bit muffled and muddled when sometimes it's what is the best route to protect the child. And I think,
yeah, but I mean, you know, I'm really, let's not steer away from it. You'd only just met Daniel. Yes, the family had issues, but I know my son better than you, and I know my son better than the social workers.
And that's where we
fail. That's where you fail,
that's
yeah.
That's where we fail, because the one person who could actually give us the insight, we do listen to.
Yeah.
And we're all listening to each other, all come up with grand schemes of what we thought was going on, and you know, people talking to each other but not talking to you, and that was the failure.
It was the failure, and I can't do anything about it now. There's no point in screaming and shouting about it. But I've got a story to tell, and I'm going to tell it if it kills me.